Joining us now, she's a friend of the show. She's an LPGA Tour player. Madeline Sagstrom joins us. Madeline, welcome back into the golf shop.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So, you know, we've been a little while since we last spoke, and you've been doing a lot. You've been playing a lot of golf, having some good finishes. Let's kind of take a little bit of look back at 2017. Seems like you were knocking on the door of getting that first LPGA title. What's it going to take?
I mean, I had a really good ending to my season. I had played good in Asia there, so it was nice to kind of feel that taste of victory, but I couldn't really pull it the entire way. But I mean, it was close. I had some good finishes, and I felt like my game was heading in the right direction. I had a little setback coming into this year again, like I did at the beginning of last year. But I mean, I know how things can turn out, so I'm really excited about where everything is heading.
Well, Madeline, when you end the year on a high note, as you did, and felt like things were going well, do you kind of leave it alone and just try to pick up where you left off, or do you tweak some things and hope to catch just that little bit of extra magic?
I love to tweaking things. Like, I feel like staying stuck, it's kind of scary. So, like, I always look for things to improve, and there's always something that can make me better. So I'm not trying to stay in the same position. I'm always trying to get better and find things to work on.
So does that make you like a stats geek? Do you go out there and look at like your cumulative stats and go, okay, like for instance, in 2017, I was 31st in driving distance and 141st in driving accuracy. So maybe I got to tweak the driver a little bit, or do you look at stuff like that and say, that's where I got to start? Or do you kind of have a feel for what you need to do?
Well, I do. Well, my team does more. I'm more the biased one that's saying, I'm hitting the driver really bad. But then they are the one who's really looking into the numbers. My coach is the one who is really looking into it and kind of figure out, okay, this is where I see the most potential going forward. And, I mean, it's normally the same thing as I'm feeling. But then we're just like, okay, we have it on paper. We know what to do. This is what you're actually doing, and just instead of just listening to me and my stupid reasoning sometimes.
well, and when the team gets involved, I mean, do they, in terms of how you learn, do they pull, you know, old clips of you if they need you to go back to something, or do you model yourself, or do they bring you samples of other players doing certain things and say, hey, have you tried this? Are there other, you know, instructors that come into play? How does that process take place?
Well, normally I'm the boss, so I give an order. Okay, I want this to get better, and then we find our way around. Like my coach is still my high school coach from 10 years ago, so we've been working together for a long time. So he can send me clips of somebody who's still at the school, a guy who's 16 year old at the school doing this thing really awesome that I want to learn, and then we can also look at like the really big high pros. Like we can look at Tiger and blah 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 blah. So like we try to find our own little tweaks and tricks and stuff to figure it out, but we definitely look at other players and just trying to figure out what works best for me.
Again, talking with LPGA Tour player Madeline Sagstrom, and we talk about it all the time with the Ryder Cup, and I want to talk to you about it from the Solheim Cup perspective. So you're out there, you're on the European squad, and you've got to hit that first tee shot ever as part of a team for the Solheim Cup. How much pressure and how different is that pressure from, you know, teeing off with a lead or just teeing off any old time in any other golf event?
Well, they decided to make the first hole reachable, which was kind of nerve-wracking because then you're there, should I go for it? Should I lay up or what should I do? So my first shot in the Solheim Cup was a driver on a par four going for the green. So it was very, very nerve-wracking. But I mean, normally if I'm in the lead of a tournament, things are a little shaky in the beginning, but you kind of get into a rhythm really quick. I would not stop shaking at Solheim for the first nine holes. It was some of the feelings that I've never felt in my entire life. I wanted to run hide behind the bush, and then I just wanted to absorb everything. It was so amazing.
Well, and the folks in Des Moines did a great job, and we saw each other out there, and that first tee was rocking. And I can imagine that even if you stroked it right down the middle, put it up on the fringe where you wanted to, you're still feeling that adrenaline for, you know, if not the next few shots, the next few holes. Is that something that can fuel you or distract you or both?
I think it's both. I think if you can figure out a way how to deal with it and know, okay, this is what it's going to feel like, then it's easier. But if you've never been in that situation before, it can definitely hurt you a little bit. But then once you get in your own flow, okay, I'm going to just try to play my game, it becomes easier. But I think, the more experience you have with it, the easier it is to know what's coming. But everybody's going to have a first time. So it's you'll learn a lot from it for sure.
Well, and it's such an honor to represent Team Europe or Team USA. And again, they did an amazing job in Des Moines. I've been to virtually every sporting event in the world, and this was by far my favorite event. More than a Super Bowl, more than a Game 7 in the NBA, more than Game 7 in the Stanley Cup. I thought it was the greatest sporting event I had ever attended in person. And I'm wondering, as you look back now, you know, you've got the wisdom of retrospection. When people ask you about it now, what are your favorite memories of being part of that squad?
My favorite memories are every moment with the team, because since we come from such an individual sport, we see each other all the time, but you never really get that team spirit as you do in soccer or something else. So like when we were in the locker room, it was like we were playing soccer. Like we were cheering for each other, and we were just, I knew the person in front of me or behind me had my back. So it was such a weird and awesome feeling to have in an individual sport. So I think every single second we were singing on the bus, we were jumping around in the locker room. It was just amazing to feel that connection with the people the love of my life, which is golf. So it was so cool, and just representing Europe and also representing Annika was massive.
Now I hate to take you down the bad road, but of course, you know, the Team USA won, but you were in the second to last match in singles. Is there kind of that, and so what is the feeling that you're trying to finish out your match? Now, I forget if you were done when the cup was decided, or if you were still out there and had a hole or two left, because you did win 3-2, so props to you on that. But what's the feeling of finishing up a match when it doesn't necessarily matter anymore to the team aspect? It probably still matters to you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We knew a slight miracle needed to happen that last day, but we had a great team meeting on the night before, and we were like, well, the only thing you can control tomorrow is your own match. So no matter if we win or lose, you're going to go out and just focus on your match and just take it as far as you can and try to win. I think that's what everybody was trying to do. It was just like you focus so hard on trying to bring your component down and just try to beat them. So I think it means a lot to everybody to win or lose that last match, even if it doesn't matter for the bigger picture. But it's we're all competitive and at heart, so we all always want to win.
Yeah, I mean, and you want to win tournaments, you want to win titles, you want to win majors, you want to follow Pernilla Lindbergh, who went out and won the ANA this year on a Monday, which was weird. But could you see yourself playing on another Solheim Cup team and trying to replicate that experience, but, you know, obviously get the win?
Yeah, obviously it's a big goal to get on the next Solheim, and I'm trying to go out every week and just play a good game and just trying to make my way there. I know that it's the little steps along the way that really matter. So I mean, Solheim is obviously in the end of it, in the big goals category, but I'm just trying to enjoy really every day out there, trying to get my first win and trying to get on another Solheim Cup team. So that would be so cool.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about this year and maybe going back to some of the courses that you've been to before. Is there a course maybe coming up on the schedule that you're really looking forward to, one that seems to set up really well? I mean, we always talk about there are certain courses for certain horses. You know, we've seen Tiger win at multiple times at several venues. Is there something coming up that you're really looking forward to saying, man, I can't wait to get back to this golf course?
I actually have two of my favorite events coming up. I have one coming up next week in Kings Mill in Virginia, and it's one of my favorite stops on tour. And it, just knowing that I've been there before and I know what it's going to be like, it's just, I mean, I had an awesome first experience with my first top 10 finish on the LPGA last year. So I have a lot of good memories coming into that one. And then we're also going to Grand Rapids, Michigan in a few weeks. So They're very close to my heart. I'm really excited about where we're going and just seeing the same courses again.
Now, when you head into a weekend, and Kingsmill's an interesting one because traditionally there's some weird weather that blows through there, and there's some rain, and if it doesn't rain on you guys, it rains around you, either before you arrive, right after you leave, or at night during the tournament. When you go into a place, I mean, how much thought do you put into preparing for the weather, and not just what you'll wear, but how you'll play the golf course?
I mean, we always look at what kind of conditions. Like you kind of prepare. You know going into what the forecast is like. And I know, like last week, they knew it was going to be a bad weather in Dallas, and so they kind of knew ahead of time. Okay, I'm gonna bring a book with me to the course if there's going to be a delay or something. So I think you look at it and you're trying to take advantage of the days when it's easier, and then just trying to play. If it gets windy, you're trying to figure out a game plan how to get around them as few strokes as possible. So I think, I mean, we adjust, and we just look at it in advance and try to figure out the best game plan.
Well, I want to take you back to the triumph of your friend and countrywoman, Pernilla Lindberg, at the A&A, winning that major earlier in the year in the weird Monday finish and the awesome dark play till they absolutely couldn't go any longer. And Mark and I have argued, I don't think there's a single set of male golfers who would have put up with that. And the women just plowed on through, and it was absolutely phenomenal drama. It was great. How big a deal was that for her? You know her well, and really for, you know, Swedish golf.
Oh, it was a massive deal for everybody. And I think knowing her very well personally, and I spent so much time with her, and I've seen her fought for so long, and it meant the world to her to get that first win, and especially being a major. So, I mean, she's worked her butt off, so excuse my language here, but she's been out there for 9 years, mm-hmm. or something, yeah, 8 or 9 years, and 250 starts, and just getting that first one, it's always that lovely feeling, okay, hard work pays off, but it was just amazing to be there on site. I was there both Sunday watching her, and I was there Monday too, and getting to give her that hug on the last green was it was phenomenal. I was crying like a little baby out there. It was so cool.
Now, how much have you talked to her since then, and how different has it been for her? I mean, has she give you any indication as to, you know, how this has changed things? Obviously, there's more demands on time and stuff like that. I mean, has she made any mention of that?
Yeah, and the next tournament, she had a cameraman following her on every hole, probably for the first time in her career.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely changes your perspective of the game. Like, it gives you a little bit more certainty. You know you're going to get into every event, and you know you're going to get into everything coming up. So you can kind of create a little better schedule, which I think she might adjust to it. But, I mean, there's so much more on your plate that you're not used to. So a lot more media, a lot more other things coming along. So, I mean, I think it's taken her some time to adjust to it. But, I mean, she's awesome with the media, and she really enjoys doing all that stuff too. So I don't doubt that she's doing a great job. And I actually get to play some golf with her this week. We're both at home, so it's going to be nice to spend some time with her again.
Nice. Now, before we let you go, I'm going to take you back to where we started. When you go in the laboratory and you start working the evil genius, what are you working on right now on your game?
Right now, I'm working on hitting a fade. I have a tendency to overcook my draw a little bit, so just trying to gain some more consistency and hitting the ball the same distance, and bringing some more certainty into the uncertainty of golf. So it's really that, more my long game, and trying to get the putter working again. I actually put a new putter in the bag this week, so hoping for some more speed, consistency, and then just kind of become really disgusting on the greens again and start making a lot of putts.
Well, you know what? Patrick Reed was a traditional draw player, worked on a fade, worked out well for him at Augusta, winning the Masters. So there you go. You got something to look forward to.
Oh, that sounds really good to me.
She's way cooler than Patrick Reed.
Well, Madeline, we really appreciate you coming on with us. We love having you on. We look forward to you winning soon, and then we'll have you back on again.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for having me.